Bhagavad Gita is a tremendous intensity of dedication requested to those who are taking this path. You know that this spiritual path is the most difficult. When Sister Ambalika asked our Guru, say, Master, isn't the Trappist order one of the most difficult order in the world? And Master Samara said, no, self-realization is. Now that is for start souls who have had enough of dragging their feet and are willing to give themselves gradually more and more dedicated to transform themselves. As the Hindu explains so clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, this is a war. They call the body Kurukshetra, the battlefield where of life, where endless war rage between the mind for supremacy with a whole army of old veteran warrior, the ego consciousness, and the other side, the soul power with God and very few individuals. Now, if you remember the war in Africa in 1943, when General Montgomery was faced with Erwin Rommel. Rommel was a far greater strategist than General Montgomery. It is only because they had the actual code Enigma machine and was able to know every motion that General was making. Therefore, there was no credit to General Montgomery or even the Allies in the Battle of Midway and so on, knew every single move which they were going to make. It's like playing chess with a man who knows every motion you are going to make before. Therefore, you find that in the whole idea of developing wisdom is to be able to decipher the inner motion of subtle evil, which if you do not control them, which is your thoughts and feelings, they totally manipulate you to the point you have become a puppet of destiny. So tonight, the introduction to the chapter 1, stanza 10, is the war between two generals facing each other, known as Bhima, or the soul, versus Bhishma. In this stanza, the two important opposing generals of the forces of good and evil are Bhima and Bhishma. It is found that Bhima, the soul, guided vital force and breath control. My whole talk tonight will be about the science of pranayama. So, well, who is Bhima? The soul guided vital force and breath control lead to soul consciousness. For this reason, the soul guided vital force is spoken of as the greatest enemy of Bhishma, or the body identified ego. It is the through the technique of pranayama, or breathing exercise, which are responsible for cutting off the nerve forces to which the sense impulse reach the brain and invade attention with the data of material desires. Therefore, Bhima, or soul-guided life force, is the principal enemy of ego consciousness, or Bhishma. By proper breathing exercise, as taught in self-realization, the venous blood is burned out and the body is electrified. When the body stops decaying, the heart gets rest and learn to control the life force moving to the five sense telephone. Therefore, there you have a colossal point about your nutrition. The purer your nutrition, the less destruction into your cells, the less work into your heart, and the more calm your heart begins to beat, automatically you become calmer and calmer into your mind. Of course, when the life force is shut off, the material sensation can't reach the brain to snatch the attention away from God and entangle it into the material world. That is why Bhima, or proper regulation of breath, and the few strong soldiers of concentration, intuition, inner perceptions, calmness, self-control, can be awakened to fight the forces of Bhishma, the pseudo-soul or ego. Then you see that the only way you have to be a man, first you have to be fearless. What made General Rommel, let's be not non-political, let's study strategy. German, English, it doesn't matter, strategy. What made Rommel so powerful, he always left his staff when in the front line and observed himself putting his life too closely in danger to observe every motion of the enemy and be able to make immediate decision to counteract your strategy. That's why 10-1, the English could not make it. And they were good soldiers, believe me. The English were not, they were real soldiers, but they could not outwit it for a long time. Therefore, the purpose of Bhima or ego is to keep the soul's attention continually busy with the living reporter and countless enticing ways of sensations. The pseudo-soul, instead of throwing the searchlight of attention on God, keep it reflected on the senses. Therefore, the ego consciousness is the consciousness of Prince Soul in bondage in the slums of the body. That's why the Master say, love of your body is nothing but the love of your own jail. Not that you should reject it, but do not be attached to your body. The consciousness of Prince Soul in bondage in the slum of the body. Hence, it is the ego and the deluded flesh-bound consciousness of the soul which is responsible for awakening all the countless soldiers of temptation couched within the human body. Now, see how this ego consciousness is a graft. We have been hypnotized that we are the ego. The Master said, never were you in the body, nor are you now, and never will you be. But you have been hypnotized in experiencing those five senses, make you believe that you have a body. And he said further, now you dream that you are alive, then you're going to dream that you are dead. All motions of consciousness on the screen of the mind. Now, without the ego consciousness, the entire army of evil and temptation vanishes like a quickly forgotten dream. If the soul dwelt in the body without being identified with it, as the soul of saints do, then no temptation could keep it tied to the body. But the trouble is, as the soul descends into the body, as consciousness identifies with it, it projects its individualized, ever-conscious, ever-new-based nature, identifies itself with the limitation of the body, its relation, and then think of itself as the miserable ego of many temptations. Now, today, the real battle, the great enemies which you will find facing your soul, breath and emotions, the greatest enemies of the yogi. Tonight, we will learn how we can alter states of consciousness by the way we breathe, how through the science of pranayama, by regulating the motion of inhalation and exhalation, gradually, you begin to experience different states of consciousness which the rest of the world cannot perceive. Let's see what science knows about breath. Dr. Alexander Lowen, student of the psychiatrist William Reich, says that the depth of respiration affects the intensity of feelings. By holding the breath, feelings can be reduced or deadened. That is why we tend to hold our breath in time of stress. Now, this is a very misleading statement and a dangerous statement, because the science of pranayama has been mistranslated countless times as holding the breath. Prana means energy, yama means control. That means the control of alternating the breath, that the inhalation and the exhalation become perfectly rhythmic, and once they become rhythmic, you can slow them down. That is the science of pranayama. Therefore, in the article of the Science magazine entitled Brain Breathing, even though the doctors still do not know, they guess in saying breathing might be the missing link between the voluntary and involuntary functions of the brain. Although it is regulated by the nervous system in the same way as the heartbeat, blood flow, and other automatic functions, breathing may be the only one of these functions that can be consciously altered. That's absolutely correct, but they don't know it. And by learning to control our breathing, we're able to control other functions, our brain waves, hormonal secretion, metabolism, and everything else. So our science gradually will explain you yoga in a perfect way. Now, another statement from another doctor which showed the remarkable facts and prove the yogic theory of two electric currents in the spine responsible from proper equilibrium between the force of positive and negative. Your lungs are opened by a current coming from the base of the spine going up called prana, and you have another current going downward upper lung. The one make you inhale, the other one make you exhale. Now, if there is obstruction in your breathing through your nose, you have got a problem. Dr. Rieger, ear, nose, and throat specialist from Budapest, Romania, found that out of 400 patients who were suffering from nasal obstruction due to deviation of the nasal septum, those who breathe more through the left nostril also suffered much more stress-related disease, up to 89% of left nostril breathing versus 29% of the right nostril breather. When a nasal deformity was corrected by surgery, the stress problem, related problem, abated. You know what it revealed? You know what it revealed? Only when what the Chinese call yin and yang, the negative and positive currents, are harmonized within you, can you begin to have proper equilibrium in your mind. Therefore, those two currents are responsible for harmonious vibration in 30,000 billion cells. He said, when it is perfectly, properly regulated and harmonized, the pranic current into your 30,000 billion cells. Therefore, irregulated breaths caused by emotional currents are the main culprits. That is why last classes I gave to you, one of the foundation of yoga is even-mindedness. When you begin to become like still, you refuse to be affected by negative emotion. We never teach you how to not feel. We are asking you to shield yourself completely from destructive emotion. And that, my dear, consists of changing your programming in television. I've said someday, unless you begin to remove everything which triggers in your subconscious mind, past memory of violence, horror, rape, murder, you will never have a proper breathing, harmonious breathing with you. All those destructive emotions are creating patterns in breathing which affect your moods. There, it's, this world is a highly scientific world. The whole universe is like a clock, inextricably intertwined with laws. The more you understand those laws, the more willing you are to abide by them. That's why the Master say here, a perfect mental stability toward external experiences makes the body perfectly healthy and resistant to fatigue and strain. It gives fitness for the practice of the next step, pranayama, as a result of proper regulation of the pranic current into the body. In fact, those who become proficient in the practice of ajna or mental equilibrium find that the movement of breath begins naturally to conform to the requirement of pranayama with the greatest ease. This having been accomplished, pranayama, which is cessation of inspiration and expiration, breathlessness follows. I'm presently making a deep study in music. The Chinese, what the Chinese taught about music, what the Hindu taught about the ragas and the Western music. And you cannot even conceive what the music of our days is doing upon your emotion. The incredible programming of your breath. Maya, Satan, is highly intelligent. He works with science. Therefore, unless you realize that breathlessness is the technique which makes you an immortal, and none of us will reincarnate again and again until we have realized while here our own immortality. That's why the Master says, through breathlessness, a new world of perceptions open. The soul is released from the bodily cage. One can enter the astral world at will, not to accomplish astral travel, but to meet the cosmic guru and be in the company of highly advanced beings. And above all, enter into the chakras of the spine. Our great guru has said, get into the spine. And once you are there, I can take mountains of your karma away from you. Third essay here. So you must remember that the goal of your life and the goal of breathlessness is to ascend your human consciousness to the six centers in the spine, reinforcing them it with their progressively with greater and greater light, until it is able to unite with the all-pervading thousand-ray lotus in the brain plexus, awakening the cerebrospinal centers in the spine is the sacred goal of the yogi. Only by pratyahara, where the mind goes within, It is possible to completely concentrate upon God. Otherwise, the mind goes, will experience sensation and thought arising from them. To control the breath is to control the mind. In our dream world, the breath is a specific storm of delusion that produces the consciousness of individual wave, form of man, and all other material objects. Well, actually, it's quite simple. As long as we are looking to the world through our five senses, we are in a specific level of vibration, and you cannot pierce through. The moment you turn off those five senses, a completely new world appears. He said, first, the decay of internal organ is stopped. Next week, 2 weeks from now, well, I can't say that exactly, but next class, I will give you a class on meditation, where if you can meditate four at specific time of the day, four times a day, you will stop growing old. How would you like that? Four times, it's in your lesson. Four different times corresponding, we have the whole creation become neutralized into your cells, and your whole body cell begin to be recharged with magnetism during those 4 periods of the day. Now, I won't tell that to you until next time. So the noise of the bodily machinery is stopped. One realizes fully that the body lives by cosmic energy coming through the medulla instead of outer energy derived from food and oxygen. The heart calms down and switches the energy from the five electric currents which activate the five senses. Then it begins to ascend in a step-by-step cosmic expansion known as samadhi by removing what is known as knots on the spine. When the currents try to go to your spine, have you experienced that? So then you go like that. You are doing your kriya, or some other time meeting, oh, you are like that. What's happened? That is, the current cannot go into the spine, go up into the nervous system. Therefore, through breathlessness, the consciousness begins to ascend in a step-by-step cosmic expansion known as samadhi, by removing what is known as knot or entanglement of our consciousness with subtle nerve forces in the psychophysical nature of man that block the free flow of spiritual forces in man's being. These knots formed by our tie to our lower separative element of our human nature, resulting in desire, in passion, selfishness, and ego consciousness, can only be loosed by the various spiritual discipline learned in meditation. Here the master explained in the poem Samadhi how the breath was responsible for him to be identified with the world. He said a cosmic vision after he went in samadhi. He said, left me many permanent lessons. By daily stilling my thoughts, I could win release from the delusive conviction that my body was a mass of flesh and bones, traversing the hard soul of matter. The breath and the restless mind I saw are like storm that lash the ocean of light into waves of material forms, earth, sky, human beings, animal, bird, trees. No perception of the infinite as one light can be had except that calming these storms. As often as I quieted the two natural tumults, I beheld the multitudinous wave of creation melt into one luminescent sea, even as the wave of creation, where a tempest subsides, merely dissolve into unity. Therefore, until we have attained breathlessness, nothing can be achieved. And therefore, there lie the passions, the patience. Only in the degree you can dim your five senses, can you gradually withdraw that energy from the five senses and put it into the spine. It's not a matter of ethic, moral, code, constitution, rights. It's a matter of vibration, electromagnetic vibrations. That's why the Master says, so long as you breathe the fresh air of earth, you are under the obligation to render grateful service. Only he that has fully mastered the breathless state is freed from cosmic imperative. You want to get rid of karma? Take refuge in the breathless state. And Lord Arjuna said to his guru, O Krishna, verily the mind is unsteady, tumultuous, powerful, obstinate. I consider the mind as difficult to master as the wind. And the masters translate, the devotee in deep despair said, O Krishna, how may one control the mind, which is ever restless like the volatile breath, in spite of yoga practice, when the bad habits of restlessness is conquered, or the proper habits of tranquility? I repeat that. When the bad habits of restlessness is conquered, or the stronger habit of tranquility. How tranquil are you during the day? What kind of music do you put? Do you put music which calms you down, like Frederick Delius, like Debussy, like Vaughan Williams? Those magnificent music which make you completely peaceful? If you do not that, you are in a constant state of restlessness. Therefore, he said, the habit of tranquility that is acquired by patience, enthusiastic, long continuous practice, the devotee finally finds the answer to his prayer. Arjuna compared the mind to the wind. Here the deeper meaning of the wind is breath. For the changeableness and the waywardness of the human mind is inevitably bound with man's breathing patterns. The glory of India's ancient sages is that they discovered the liberating truth: to control the breath is to control the mind. And do you know that there are certain Hindu doctors who will take your pulse and can tell you where you have a problem in your body? Isn't that fantastic? Those doctors who have studied the Ayurvedic treatment, they take your pulse and they can tell you what is not functioning properly in your body. Now that I call medicine. Now we have five senses. The master say, if you were given only one sense, only one, choose anyone you want, that would be enough to keep you forever tied with Maya. So we have got five of them. Let's study the first one. Hearing. Well, hearing is not so hard to get rid, isn't it? How many of you love silence? Out of 24 hours a day, how much time do you spend in silence? Men literally hate silence. You see it in the retreat in Encinitas. People, it's very uncomfortable. They have to come there and they have to move, they look at each other, and all that. They go like that. They are always smiling the face to make them happy, because they are not used to being silent. You go in the desert, you have all those buggies shooting, running, noise. Man hates silence. He's attached to his ears. And let's take the other one. The sing. My God. If we had to lose any part of our body to save our eye, we are willing to let everything go but our eye, isn't it? This is our most precious possession, and we are well attached. No one can think of the idea of losing his sight. Then we have smelling. Imagine, without the sense of smell, all the French restaurants would go out of business. You could smell your food. What about taste? I mean, if you could taste your food, the food would have no meaning. You'd starve to death. When you have a cold, isn't it nice? Isn't your food nice when you have a cold? So imagine how much we are living every day totally identified with those five senses. We can't appreciate anything else but those five senses. So come the last one, touching. The real villain. The place right behind your heart center. The touch is right connected with your emotion. So you can imagine how we are stuck. It's the most difficult to get out of it. Therefore, how are you going to learn to control your breath gradually? First, you're going to learn to fast. Point number one, once a week, you're going to start to clean your body. The monks say, if you fast one day a week with orange juice, it scrubs every cell of your body. Point number one, you begin to clean that body of all the toxins you are putting into it. Then as you gradually release your greed for food. I remember when they pulled my teeth many years ago, I had 16 infections. The dentist said he never saw a case like that. I had 16 abscesses in my mouth. And he said, you don't feel anything? I said, no, I have good friends. He thought I was gone by that time. He immediately started to fast with a specific technique of water from South America, a very specific technique, water and nothing else. And beets and carrots and parsley and soak, you take the mineral. As he was pulling my teeth, I was fasting 16 days. And it got 6 days. I was healing so fast, the doctor said, how the world do you eat your meat? Well, I said, osteoarthritis. I wouldn't dare to tell him I was not eating. He would immediately stop the work. The idea is you can learn to live without food for long periods of time. In fact, after 16 days, I had a terrible time to make myself eating again because I felt I was floating. Of course, I probably was dying too. So what we're going to try to teach you is to learn through meditation to have periods of time where you are not breathing and you do not become panicky. That's the worst problem we have got. We develop panic the moment we do not breathe. Therefore, the ancient yogi's technique of Kriya Yoga convert the breath into mind stuff, which means that by spiritual advancement, one is able to cognize the breath as a mental concept, an act of the mind, a dream breath. You will find out as you begin to, especially those of you who know the technique of Hong So, as you systematically begin to slow down, the breath becomes shorter, gradually shorter, and then come the period where there is no breathing at all. As you begin to not breathe, let the body completely go. Let yourself completely relax without fear. If you can relax, usually you become tense, the heart begins to beat faster. How many times I brought myself back because of fear? Then I went to Sridayamata, I said, my heart practically stopped, and yet it reactivated because of the fear. I don't know what I'm going to experience. He said, Turyananda, you advance too fast with technology and not enough with devotion. Therefore, you need the hypodermic of devotion for God, which will calm down the lunatic mind. Okay, that makes sense. It's logical, you know. So those techniques have to work side by side with devotion. Don't forget that. With love for God. If you try to do anything to acquire power, you're going to be scared to death. Believe me. So the Master said, the mental concept of the mind, dream breath. We only think we can't live without breath. Yet when we practice Kriya Yoga, we know it can be done. Saints of the East and West have often entered in a breathless state. Mortal life is simply a system of suggestions. You see, those people are walking on fire. Have you seen the latest fad? Now people walk on fire. Have you seen that? And you know, the man he was explaining, he was in a hot seat there, challenged as a phony. But the man was making a lot of sense. He was telling them that he was changing the suggestion of the mind of people. They couldn't do anything. Now, I don't advise you to try. Don't try those things. You don't need to do it. Go in a breathless state. It's better for you. Therefore, life is simply a system of suggestions that make us think that we must conform to certain patterns of eating, breathing, and so on. But as soon as you meditate and permit your consciousness to retire within its source, you realize that you are not subject to these limiting patterns. There lies the problem. You have to deprogram yourself of all the false concepts this world is putting upon you. During deep meditation, when the breath becomes calm, a very enjoyable state of peace is produced. But owing to the strong ego consciousness, the thoughts of the body return and to the fickle, loud breath revive, rousing material desires and senses distractions. When the heart rests, the breath becomes unnecessary, the life energy then withdrawn from the heart and the sensory nerve, and thus disconnect the telephone of the five senses to sensory disconnection to the technique of pranayama. Learning a Hong So and Kriya Yoga, sensations cease to arouse thoughts, which in turn cease to rouse the subconscious mind by associated thoughts. The attention does become scientifically free from all distractions, and this is ready to go on to the advanced practice. Therefore, the struggle of meditation goes for decades until you can reach that state. That's why you say, well, I feel nothing and hear nothing, and I have no experience in meditation. It's because the meditation efforts are too shallow. That's what Siddhartha told me about my own. Therefore, rhythmic inhalation and exhalation is the basic of attaining breathlessness. The yogi disconnects his mind from the disturbing activities of breath with his 21,000 daily inhalation and exhalation. By quieting his heart to the practice of Kriya Yoga or the Hong So technique, he learns to disconnect his breath and mind from the five senses and dissolve his ego in the perception of the blessed soul. The Hong So technique enables practitioners to solve the mysteries of breath by doing away with it. As I told you, by gradually those intervals become longer and longer and longer without discomfort. Only when the mind is absolutely certain nothing will happen to it, then it will get you. Tell you, those experiences, you have to have lots of faith in God. You're entering a world which is more scary, actually, than any science fiction you can watch, unless you are, again, you have been anesthetized by devotion. Then you enter into it, you do not know you're into it, and you become joy, and you become bliss, and you become love. There's no more you, me, I go experience this. No, you become that. You become one of it. To various degrees. If you can do without breath, you can control your body life, prolong it, and rise beyond to soul awareness in this life. Yogi who has gained breath control has then able to recognize that consciousness is the only thing that is real about his existence. You have the metaphysical meditation, I read the booklet, where every night you're supposed to be laying in bed and begin to leave your body mentally. I'm not saying you're going to go to an astral world. You travel, you move into the ocean, you go into mountain, you go into forest. You begin to travel because you are consciousness. Can you behold yourself as consciousness? Can you repeat to yourself when you are in bed, I am consciousness, I am consciousness, I am not this body. Every one of you should repeat that if you want to ascend. It's a very, very interesting feeling. And you will see when you go into the subconscious mind, you will find the subconscious world is exactly the same as this one, as real. You go from one world to the other, up and down, and you enter into this world, and it's as real as this one. Very interesting when you have control of both. Therefore, he said, in due time, the proper result of such technique is when you practice also, you think you are just practicing relaxation, you are very, very mistaken. When you obtain even a little calmness of breath, the lid is open and trillions of specks and currents of energy fill you from the ether. You become so powerful that you cannot imagine. I found out when I have a good meditation, I feel extremely awakened and extremely powerful after a meditation. This is what you feel. Keep on increasing into the end of your life by concentration on the depth of intensity of your meditation. For you in the world, who have so short of a time to meditate, put intensity. Develop intensity. That word is never emphasized enough. You have 15 minutes, put everything you have got. Then he say, you will find that patience will not be necessary. For on the tidal wave of ever-increasing bliss, you will float the shores of God consciousness. What a beautiful poetic word. But there are four related forces which must be harmonized before you can harmonize your breathing rhythm. Now, I'm going to talk to you about the main obstruction in your life. In the practice of concentration, the relation between the following four related forces must be known. A. Breath. B. Life force. C. Mind. D. Vital fluid or sexual energy. A balance and control of these four bodily forces bring quick results without any downfall or hindrance. Students who meditate regularly without striving to calm the restless breath or control the life force and vital essence often find insurmountable difficulties on the spiritual path. It's like a chain of reaction. If one life force is restless, is nervous and keeps his body in constant motion. If his mind is restless, then vitality or sexual energy is restless. Then breath is restless. But if one controls the life force by the practice of calmness at all levels, his mind and vital power are within his control. To sum up, if breath is made calm and rhythmic by the practice of Rongso, the life force, mind, and sexual instinct will gradually be under control. Calmness is a positive state of mental expansion. Now there is a revelation. Calmness is a positive state of mental expansion. When we are calm, sending this calmness bring to you a formidable power over your life. It is by seeing the wave of thought within us we can perceive the infinite. Calm reason plus calm feeling can lead to intuition. This is the quality you want to attain for expansion. To intuition when guided by meditation. So the more you meditate and reason in a calm state, the more intuition you will have. No matter how spiritual you are, you may be still a child in your spiritual realization. You must realize the truth yourself. By the development of intuition, one cannot outgrow the laws of cause and effect in his own life. In the calm, neutralized mind, all events of the future appear vividly. When through breathlessness you attain intuition, you have your decoding machine in which you are going to see from the future, not through astrological or reading palm or the tarot, but you are going to see directly concerning you what's coming in the future. And therefore you can begin to change it. You see, in the calm, neutralized mind, all events of the future appears vividly. He said, hold a minute. You tell me that my entire future is already written? What free will do I have then? None. Unless you go into your soul. With your soul you have every free will possible. In fact, the moment there is a burst of your soul consciousness, at that moment you have free will, because the Master said, the only time you are truly alive is when you commune with God. He said, then you are truly alive. Otherwise you are just a humanoid. And that's a fact, believe it or not. And I'm not exactly praising you, isn't it? Or praising myself. Therefore, it's intuition tune the mental radio, so no static can intercept all vibrations of the future happening, which otherwise are deflected by diverse currents. You must understand that meditation is the inner war drum, which rouses the good and bad habits from the slumber of indifference and make them willing to increase their forces in order to attain victory over the consciousness of the devotees. Do you know what that means? People said to me, oh, well, she's on the spiritual path, it's worse than ever. All hell break loose, I have more problems than I ever had. Yeah, sure, of course. Because you have accepted the challenge, they're going to pow on your face. You are facing evil now. You are no more indifferent. Therefore, you are being challenged, believe me. And you are going to be kicked on the ground 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. And that's why they can understand. Fight, 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 and fight even though always in defeat. That's the one who goes to the last step who make it. Because the ego has to be demolished. The true spiritual path destroys the ego, you don't become. Go around because you're a spiritual man. You become insignificant. As Bodhivananda Moy told me, when he first arrived, he came to Encinitas, and there, as he arrived, he knew Rajasi Vijayanakananda was there. And a man came to him and embraced him and talked to him and did everything to him. And he thought it was Rajasi. He said, are you Rajasi? He said, no, Rajasi is over there. And at the end of the day, was a little man with a beard, just like that, sitting there. Not saying a single word, like a little child at the end of the time. There was Rajasi with Christ consciousness. So, as long as the ego is powerful, no way to get out of it. So he say you have to demolish that ego, which consists of fighting evil forces. So I repeat that. Meditation is the inner war drum, which rouses the good and bad habits from the slumber of indifference and make them willing to increase their forces in order to attain victory over the consciousness of the devotees. Both sides fight and harm themselves. In the beginning, the spiritual aspirant finds his soldiers of discrimination guided by the desire to be good. Later, as he meditates longer and pray ardently, now none of us do that, and pray ardently for inner help, he finds the calm conviction of inborn intuition or awakening inner light, a veteran occult general, emerge from the superconsciousness to guide the forces of discrimination. This awakening inner light is the offspring of good past habits. Habits of meditation bring forth the general inner light, who lead the army of discriminative battle to battle all past habits. What is the general inner light? That light of intuition will show you the whole strategy of how you're being manipulated by evil habits, unconscious evil thoughts, unconscious manipulation of moods and jealousy and resentment and hostilities and vengeance and all that stuff, which is endlessly structured by television. Each time you enjoy to see the guy being beaten up, he may be evil. You may see the policeman shooting against the guy. Glad he got killed. You are reinforcing in yourself the desire to kill him, my dear. And we have that well in us, believe me. So you become, as the Bhagavad Gita said, the foundation of the Bhagavad Gita, the war is fearlessness. You have to be willing to be shot at, to be beaten up, to be sick, to lose, be defeated again, failures. You have to understand that good and evil inexorably alternate in supremacy. There is no way you can always stand like that. Maya comes and slap you aside. But you rise up again. So the Master said, perseverance is all the magic of success. So next time I will speak entirely on meditation. As I spoke to you in Breathless State, I will go point by point on the various preparation, how you have to prepare yourself. As I have explained before, I've been an archer for many years, and I realized that when you hold that bow, you can make 36 different mistakes before you let that arrow go. And as you eliminate more and more of those mistakes, you become perfect. Among us here, you have one of our members, which is here tonight. He asked me to take 10 cents, and he's right here, the three of them. Take 10 cents. And here is bow without sight. He's like that. I threw the 10 cents, and he shot the 10 cents in front of me. I tried to run for my life, and this thing came out like a shrapnel. Mm-hmm. I did that several times. Now, how can you shoot 10 cents? Why? Because he has eliminated all the obstruction of the mind, and he was perfectly in tune with motion. That's the same thing as meditation. There are about 16 things you have to do before you can sit down and meditate properly. Are you doing them? I'm telling you, it's abominable, this man. I'm practicing energizing for 31 years. I'm studying it now. Every one of them practice them 3 times a day. I still thought I was doing some wrong of them after 31 years. We are so hard-headed to learn things, you know? And meditation is the greatest art of all, which requires a high skill. But you can't be sloppy about it. My friend, he practiced 4 or 5 hours a day on archery every day until he can't pull his bow anymore. And that's how you become a champion. And you know what? Every one of us has to become a champion if you want to get out of here. And we have everything within us, every quality to be a champion, if we choose to make it. You may have a lot of things. Imagine when children are trained like that. Now, how would you like that to have your kid being trained from 5 years old on that kind of training? The kind of individual we are going to build. Well, if we do well in this lifetime, we shall be reborn in a higher civilization, 1,000 years ahead of this solar system. There are plenty of places in the galaxy where you can advance much faster than here. Let us pray together, beloved God. Amen. Bless his offering. That it may help. We carry a message of love and wisdom.
All to seeking.
Om.